want to talk to you about a heart like Jesus. Everybody say a heart like Jesus. And I want to show you a couple of passages that, as we start off, that I think will help. The first is in John 14, John chapter 14, and starting with the fourth verse. John chapter 14, Jesus says this, and where I go, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Like, Thomas is like, what's up? I don't even know what you're talking about, Jesus. Right? Then look what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Who's him there? Okay, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Oh, no. Okay, look at it again. Let's all get on the same page. Watch what it says. And you, let's see, let me start. And Jesus, let me go. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Who's the him? Jesus is talking about his Father. And he says something that just is a, wow. Here's what he says. Look what it says again. Verse 7, and if you know me, you would have known my Father also. But listen what he says after this. And from now on, you know him, you know my Father, and have seen him. Huh? What? Watch this. That's what Philip's like. I don't get it. Watch this. Philip said to him, Lord, you know, he said, look, you know me and you know the Father and you've seen me and you've seen the Father. And Philip's like, Jesus, we don't know we haven't seen the Father. Watch this. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient enough. See, Philip's trying not to be controversial with Jesus. He's trying not to get in an argument with Jesus, but what he's saying is, Philip, Jesus, I know you just said we saw the Father, but we don't know. We haven't seen the Father. So it's cool. It's sufficient. It's cool. Just show us where he is because we haven't seen him. That's what he's saying. It's sufficient. Just show us where he is. Right? Watch this. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how is it that you say, show us the Father? When Jesus is saying, hey, Philip, you've seen me. When Jesus is saying to Philip, you've seen the Father, you've seen the Father, you've seen the Father. How come he can say that? Here's why. Because Philip has seen Jesus. So then he says, here's what's up, Philip. Philip's like, Jesus, just tell us where he is. Jesus says, you know what? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I say all that to say, what's Jesus saying? Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I and the Father are one. Let me teach you something. Jesus is God. Now, take that. Are you got that? Let's go over it. Let's review. Amen. When you've seen Jesus, who have you seen? So when we see Jesus, what are we looking at? So to see the Father, all I have to do is what? All I have to do is look at Jesus. When I see Jesus, I see the Father. Okay. Now this is really important because of the next verse I'm going to go to, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. You know this scripture. It's a very familiar scripture. Look what it says. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. But Pastor, how do I imitate God? I don't even know what he does. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what he does. How many know it's hard to imitate somebody that you've never seen before? How many know if you have a coach, maybe a batting coach, you know what I mean? And you're trying to do something, and the batting coach will take the bat and he'll say, listen, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to hold it like this. I want you to hold it like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? He'll show you what to do. You know what? The other day, I'm just telling you what. Matter of fact, just you know, so you know, I cooked up my wife the best. I can't make very much, but I can make a very good breakfast. Come on, somebody say amen to this. I make a very good breakfast, and this morning I made my wife and my daughter, made Pastor Paul, you can even ask him later on, made Joel a wonderful breakfast sandwich. I mean, it was just awesome. But listen to me. But the other day when I'm in the kitchen, and my wife is trying to thicken some kind of sauce she's making, and she's telling me to stir it, or she's telling me to, I don't even know what word she used, you know what I mean? And I'm stirring the thing. I'm going like this, you know what I mean? I'm stirring it. She said, no, not like this, like this. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know. But here's what she did when she told me, I didn't get it. When she showed me, I got it. She took the spoon and she showed me how to do it. When she showed me how to do it, I could do that. Are you with me? Why is this important? Because when the Bible says, therefore be an imitator of God as dear children, we can all know how to do that. Whoa, wait. Remember, I told you we're going to go back to what we just talked about? How can you be, come on, think about it. How can you be an imitator of God? Somebody tell me. Because we've seen Jesus. Oh, I've never seen him. No. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, you've seen Jesus. Is that not right? Okay. So you can figure out how to be like the Father because all you have to do is figure out what Jesus did. How many know? Okay, well, let me get ahead of myself. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and let's look at two verses there. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. Look what this says. Matthew 10. Oh, you guys don't have it. Sorry. Can you go there, guys, in the back? Matthew chapter 10. Verse 7 and 8. Look what it says. So this is Jesus. He's talking to mere men. Just regular men. Okay. You say, yeah, but they're a special man. Well, everyone's special. No, think about it. Everyone is special. Everyone is different. Even if you have Siamese twins. How many know parents of Siamese twins? You know what? By the time they're 4 months old, they're already seeing the differences in them. Why? Because even twins that look identical are not alike at all, because God makes everyone so individual. So these men are special, but we're all special. But look what Jesus tells them, starting with verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is his hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you ever see, freely give. Now, let's look at this list. Here's what I want you to do. Guys, here's your list. Here's what I want you to go, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to do these things. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. I want you to do four things. Just real simple things. Okay, ready? Here's what I want you to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Okay, here's what I want to ask. Who had healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons? Jesus does that. Come on, let's connect the dots. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imitate my Father. And all you have to do is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he gives a practical essence and says, look, you guys know how to do this, because you've seen me do this. See, here's what I'm trying to get you to connect with. It's kind of, to some extent, what I was saying Sunday. We've got to identify with the right thing. Reckon yourself dead to sin. But I didn't get to this Sunday. But alive in Christ Jesus. Paul says, in him I live and move and have my being. Everybody say in him. So what I'm saying to you is, here's what I'm saying, act like Jesus acted. And stop thinking that you can't, here's why, because you have the command to do it. And God doesn't tell you what to do if you can't do it. God's not a tricker. God's very straightforward. He's truthful. It's one of my points tonight. He's truthful. So here's what I'm saying. Act like God. Amen. Oh, Pastor, nobody. You know what I mean? And we hear this. We hear this on Christian radio. We hear this from pastors. Oh, nobody can act like God. You know what I mean? Well, wow, that's weird. You need to tell Paul that. Because Paul writes in Ephesians that we ought to act like God. Somebody on the radio, the Apostle Paul. I pick the Apostle Paul. Amen. And we need to pick the Apostle Paul. But what about what I did? I don't care what you did. Jesus doesn't care what you did. You know, that doesn't make any difference. It's not about what you did. It's about what you're going to do. Amen. And you won't ever walk in the victory that Christ has for you if you don't identify with the commandment that you're given to imitate God. Well, I can't. Okay, well, you won't. Because as a man perceives in his heart, in his mind, in his heart, so he is. As a man thinketh, that's what it says. As a man thinketh, so he is. Let me tell you what. Let me just tell you a story. These guys, they came back and they're like, wow, this is awesome. We did everything you said. They were excited. Can I tell you what? You're no different. How many want to start acting 2017 like Jesus? I said, how many want to start acting like Jesus? See? Here's what I want to say. Listen, We've got to get a vision of reaching our world. We've got to get a vision of we can make a difference. We've got to get a confidence to say, listen, I am called, I'm an ambassador of Christ. So I need to take the kingdom of God to this earthly, worldly kingdom. I need to affect. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to affect others. And listen, and this is how you're going to affect others. You're going to affect others by looking like Jesus. All right. So let me give you some things that Jesus looked like. Okay. Five things very quickly. Number one, Jesus was humble. Jesus was humble. Jesus was humble. There's a attitude that permeates, I'd say America, but it might even be more than America, and it's an attitude of cocky pride. The Bible says in the last days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. You know what? Let me give you a word picture. It's like, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. I know. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Come on, if somebody recognizes this permeates our society, you know what? And God's like, gross. Not that he doesn't love everyone, but that kind of attitude. God, here, let me quote it to you, just so you know. It's not that God doesn't love everybody, he loves everybody, but he resists the proud. He resists the proud. That proud, cocky, arrogant attitude, God's like, wah. Jesus, turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Luke chapter 1, verses 31. Look what it says. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring a son and shall call his name Jesus. You know, Jesus' name was, Jesus was Greek for Joshua, which meant the Savior. But listen, but it's also very important because it was also a very common name. Here's a very common name back then. It's still a common name. Joshua was a very common name, but back then it was even more common. Listen to me. Jesus, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself. He emptied himself of all the heavenly privileges that he had. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, 83 times, you know what Jesus is called? The Son of Man. I thought you said Jesus is God. He is God. But here's what I'm saying. Jesus made an association. Think about it. Jesus humbled himself and came to this earth. If we're going to look like Jesus, we have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves. We have to not think that we know everything. Listen. You know what's amazing to me? That Jesus on this earth, how many know Jesus is our example? Jesus on this earth, here's what Jesus said. I of myself can do. Yeah, that's what we think. That's what we think. From the heart of the mouth speaks. I of myself, I can do everything. Jesus said just the opposite. Here's what he said. I myself can do nothing. Nothing. Why? Because he needs the Father. Okay, that is humble. So I'm just asking, so how in the world do we expect to run even one day of our life, let alone a week. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I don't want anybody to raise your hand. But if I ask you, hey, how many of you have ever gone, I'm not talking about Jesus, thank you for this burrito, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm not talking about that. But if I ask, how many of you have ever prayed, gone a whole week without praying? Okay, I think if you'd be honest with yourself, there might be someone in this room. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Matter of fact, I don't. But I think somebody will go, yeah, okay, can I tell you what that is? Love you guys. That's crazy. That's crazy. Because, you know what? What we need to do is walk in humility and go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need help today. God, I need help today. That's humble. That's how Jesus did. Jesus would wake up early and he'd section himself off. You know why? Because he needed to pray. Okay. Number one, we need to be humble. Number two, we need to be, Jesus was hopeful. Everybody say hopeful. Jesus was hopeful. So in John chapter 1, verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. In other words, this is Peter. And he says, you know what, Peter? I'm changing your name. Here's what you are. You are a rock. Now how many know Peter shows himself to be very inconsistent? Is this not right? One minute he has a revelation to say, man, you are the Son of God. Remember? And Jesus is saying, that's awesome. You're awesome. Just right after that, you know what Peter says? Peter says, Jesus, you shouldn't go to the cross. Jesus is like, dude, get behind me, Satan. You know what? Peter is all over. If you look at his life, Peter's the one who walks on water. Peter's also the goofball that cuts the guy's ear off. Peter, Jesus is like, Peter, unbelievable. You know, picks up the guy's ear. Peter, what are you doing? Puts it back on. So why does he call him a rock? Here's why. Because Jesus is extremely hopeful. We have to take our cynical mindset. If you want to look like Jesus, you've got to take your negativity, your cynicalness, your probably it won't work. You know what? You got to take your Eeyore attitude and you have to lay it aside. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. You mean? You need to start, and I've taught you this, but repetition and more learning. You know what? Christian people think on that which is good. And so if you come in and there's eight, if you go on a trip and it seems like everything goes wrong. You know, we went on a trip to Yosemite several years ago, and it was the most memorable trip I've ever had. It was an amazing trip because I couldn't even imagine how many things. It's like, God can, is there any possible way so many things can go wrong in one trip? Can I tell you what? It was one of the most incredible trips I've ever experienced. Pastor, well, I don't understand. I thought you said it was everything could go wrong. I could. It did. But here's what went right. That trip was a time that everyone who went on that trip got real close together. It's a great story. Where, you know, there's places you can go And it's really a bummer because you can't call anybody. You know why you can't call anybody? Because there's no cell things. You're in the middle of nowhere. That's where we were. And you know what? You're so used to being lit outside. At Yosemite, around there, it's dark, like no light at all. So we get lost. A person that we're supposed to following is going like 90 miles an hour. And at some point in time, it was too dark. I just recognized, I can't go 90 miles an hour. You know what I mean? It's not safe. So even though it was unsafe not to know where he was going, at least I'd get lost safely. That makes sense? And so we reach this point, and understand, at this point, we should have been there like at 11 o'clock. It's like 2 in the morning. Actually, we should have been there at like 10 o'clock. It's 2 in the morning, and we get to this place, and it's totally just a small little road in some mountain somewhere, and there's this light, and it's red. Not a signal, just this red flashing light. So we're sitting there, and you feel kind of dumb because there's nobody on the road, and you're sitting there at this red light. And it's not a red light like there's a red, an amber, and a green light. It's just this red light flashing. And it says stop. You know what I mean? There's no train. So, yeah, if there was a train, I would have, okay. So we're just sitting there. Because what do you do at a red light that's flashing? What do you do? Red, you do what? Stop. So we're stopped. Okay. So we're waiting there. And then my wife, after like what seems like a half an hour, my wife finally says, Drew, just go. I'm thinking, yeah, that's smart. I need to go. This is ridiculous. So I start going. As I'm going, I'm recognizing what that light is. It's a place in the road that the road got so skinny that it's just enough for one car to go. So there's this other light on the other side somewhere. Guess what color that light is? That light's green. The problem is, by the time I recognize this, I'm already, 500 feet down this road. And I freak out. Because now I got to put it in reverse and quickly go back before somebody hits me head on. We get back safely, and I'm waiting there. And then another 5 minutes. And then it turns green. And then I go. There were stories like that. I mean, too many. I don't have time enough. But let me tell you what. It was an awesome trip. Because we laughed so hard. We had so much fun. It was the ridiculous trip to Yosemite. Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. If you, listen, there are situations in your life and you got 8 reasons to be bummed out. There's one redeemable thing in that situation. Here's what you need to do. Focus on that one thing. And here, listen to me. And I guarantee you, in every situation, there's something redeemable in that situation. Jesus was optimistic and hopeful in all kinds of people's lives. And the main thing he did, listen, this is the main reason you need to develop this, because you need to look at your children and be hopeful for their future. You need to look at your husband and be hopeful, you know what, for his situation, for your marriage. You need to look at your wife and be hopeful. You need to look at your future and be hopeful. Because that's the character of God. You listen, you will pull good things out of people. Listen to me. You will pull good things out of people. There's this dynamic that what you expect, that's what happens. And a cynicalness will not do those people around you. Jesus is dealing with Peter, and he's saying, let me tell you who you are. You're a rock, Peter. There was a study, this is years ago, I mean, like in the 50s, kind of actually mean thing to do, but they did it anyway. They had these kids in elementary school, and they told the kids and the teacher, the main point was the teacher, they told the teacher, these kids, we tested all the kids in your class, and they sectioned off the white kids on this side and the Hispanic kids on this side. They did a test where they're all together, then they sectioned them off, and they said, you know what, to the white kids, you guys, in front of the whole class, and the teacher doesn't know what's going on, said to the teacher, you guys, we tested all of you, and all you kids over on this side, you were the smartest. And so, because you don't need as much time, you will get extra recess, you know what, and you are just the best and the smartest in the class. And they section them off. Guess what happened to these kids, and guess what happened to these kids? These kids started excelling in their academics, and these kids started to suffer. Later on in this study, they came back in and said, oh, unbelievable, we made a mistake. Just so you know, over here, we got it wrong. You guys, we flipped it over. You guys aren't the smartest. You guys are the dumbest. Sorry, guys. You guys are the smartest. And you actually will get more time for recess. And told the teacher the same thing. Guess what happened? Totally switched around. And this group started excelling in their academics, and this group started suffering in their academics. Can I tell you what? You would be amazed how much power you have if you see people for all the good things that are going on in people. Amen. Amen. And you want to change people for Christ? You want to get your situation better than it is? Then stop looking at people like the cynical. They're always going to do. Can I tell you about God? God doesn't look at people from their past. Listen, and you shouldn't either. You know what we do with people? We date stamp them. We do. We date stamp them. We date stamp them and say, you know what? I've seen you're like this, boom, and you'll always be like this, boom, and we stamp a date on them, and we stamp on that. You are, you know, whatever the thing is, we date stamp them. We say, boom, boom, that's who you are. And we need to stop doing that. We need to allow the past. Don't you want your past to be the past? Okay. Can we do that for other people too? That's what Jesus does. You want to act like Jesus? Stop judging people on their past. Believe that they can change just like you can change. Amen? Number one, Jesus is humble. Number two, Jesus is hopeful. Number three, Jesus is humane. You know, go to the Luke scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse 38 through 40. Look what it says. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made requests on him concerning her. Next verse. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick. Interesting. Look at the words. Say, all those who had any. Okay. All those who had any. How many know if you have all those who have any who are sick, you're going to have a lot of sick people? Why? Because all those who have any, watch that were sick with various diseases, brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Can I tell you what? Jesus is humane. He just sees people. He just sees people and has a real tenderness for people. Can I tell you what? It's so easy for us to get hard-hearted, for us to get cynical, for us to think, well, you know what, they, you know what, make all these judgments. Well, you know, they deserve that, and they, you know, it's their fault, and all this stuff. Hey, can we just be tender to people? You know what, my son, he witnessed to me today. He came in my office, and he said, hey, Dad, I invited somebody to church. I said, that's awesome. You know what I mean? He said, yeah, I was over, I think it was a Taco Bell. I don't know where it was. Some taco place. And he said, he's in line, and he sees this person who's, he says, you know, looked like he was homeless. And I said, hey, you know what? You want something to eat? And he said, yeah. And he said, I bought him two tacos, and you know what? I invited him to church. See, what's he doing? Here's what he does. He's humane. He's tender to someone. You know what? Where we can be cynical. We just think, oh, you know what I mean? Oh, he probably, whatever we come up with. Tyler says, hey, I'll buy you two tacos, and I'll invite you to church. And my son was excited about him coming to church. Amen. Now, I don't know. For all I know, he's here. Amen? With two tacos in his stomach. Amen? Right? Amen. Or maybe, I don't know how old he is. Maybe he's over at Sozo tonight. Or maybe he's not here. But my son had a tenderness to somebody that maybe, you know what? Needed something to eat and needed Jesus Christ. That's the heart of Jesus. Jesus is sitting there and saying, here, let me tell you what. Let me lay hands on every single person that's here. Sometimes we just get, you know what, it's like, ah. You know what I mean? Ah. You know, I'm late to work. You know what? You ain't gonna come in my spot. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna let you in. You know what I mean? Hello? And we just lose connection with the humanity of others. Somebody hearing what I'm saying? Amen? Man, you want to act like Jesus? Man, you got to pay attention to other people. You got to be tender towards other people. Jesus was a lot of things. He was humble. He was hopeful. He was humane. You know what he was? Jesus was honest. Jesus was honest. How many know Jesus was honest with people? Sometimes we were like, sometimes one time I was talking, you know what, I don't even know what I was preaching on, because this was later on, but this lady comes up to me and she says, you know what, Pastor, you know what, when I first started coming to this church, I used to get so mad at you. Sometimes I just walk out. It was when we were over in the North Sanctuary. She said, sometimes I just walk out right away because I didn't want to see you. I'm like, what? What did I do wrong? But here's what she said. She said, you know what? You would say things that were going on in my life, and I would get so mad. Can I tell you what? Jesus never told anyone anything except, you know what, motivated by love. Amen. And sometimes when somebody will tell you the truth, sometimes, how many know, sometimes the truth hurts. You know, there's one story in Jesus, and he's he's talking to Peter, and Peter's like, you know what? Hey, well, and he says this. He says this to Peter. Here, Peter, here's what's going to happen. Actually, let's read it real fast. John 21, verse 17. John 21, verse 17. Look what this says. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, you know this part, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, watch what happens after this. I just wanted to show you where he's at. But look what happens, because I know you know this story. But do you know the next story? Watch this. Watch this. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, he's talking to Peter. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where, don't go to the next verse yet, where you do not wish. He's prophetically saying something to him. Now watch what he's prophetically saying to him. Next verse. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. He's prophetically telling them, stretch out your hands. You're walking around where you want. They're going to capture you. They're going to take you where they want to take you. And they're going to stretch out your hands, and they're going to kill you. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Telling Peter this. Watch this. Next verse. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus had loved. That was John. Who had also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is this one who betrays you? He's describing John. Next verse. Peter seeing John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Stop there. Let me teach you what's going on. Jesus says, Peter, let me tell you what. He's dealing with Peter. He prophetically tells him, you know what, that there'll be a time and you're going to be hung, stretched out, and you're going to be taken. I don't know whether Peter knew prophetically that that was true, because John is revealing this when he writes this. Are you following me? And so, but Jesus is just on Peter. You know, the whole thing. You know what? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? He's on him. And then Peter probably sees John over there kicking back on a rock. And Peter's like, wait a minute. What about him? Like when you were growing up, like when I was growing up. You know what I mean? Your sisters get away with everything. You're like, Mom, what about them? You know what? And then what would your mom say? Probably the same thing my mom said. Hey, you know what? Mind your own business. Right? But the Lord said, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Look at Jesus' response. This is, man, Jesus just straight up. Jesus said to him, if I will that he will remain till I come, what is it to you? Follow me. Did he just tell him to follow him? Yeah. It's like, Peter, knock it off. It's not, hey, what I choose and how I choose to work with John is between me and John. You just follow me. Ouch. Can I tell you what? Jesus will love you enough to tell you the truth. So don't resent Jesus for loving you. Thank God for loving you. Thank God when you come to this church. And you know what? And you're told something. You know what? You don't. And listen, you could run. You get off the, Pastor made me mad. You know, Pastor made me mad. You could do that, amen? Well, I got mad that he did that, man. It made me mad. You could do that too, amen? All I'm saying is, it doesn't do good. You know what? You know what Paul said? He said, do you not like me because I tell you the truth? That's what he said. Can I tell you what? We need to recognize it's the love of God that causes us to tell us the truth. Amen. It's his love. He's not trying to wreck your party. He's trying to bless you. And can I tell you what? We have to have the integrity to be, now listen, and now, oh, pastor, praise God. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell the truth. You know what? Get in line. Oh, I can't wait to get home and tell my wife the truth. That's really not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about tell the truth. Become someone who tells the truth. Amen? Well, I just told her, you know what? I didn't like that dress because Pastor said, tell the truth. And that dress looks hideous on her. If you got all that out of that, you missed it. That's wasn't what I was saying. That's not what God is trying to communicate. What God is trying to communicate is we ought to be people who are honest. Amen. And finally, you know what? Jesus is humble, he's hopeful, he's humane, he's honest, and Jesus is hospitable. Jesus is hospitable. Mark chapter 6, verse 35 through 34, 32. Look at this. Mark chapter 6. Look what it says quickly. When the day was about far spent, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and are already the hours late. Send them away. These are the disciples. Send them away, that they might go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread. They aren't our problem, Jesus, for they have nothing to eat. But Jesus answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And then Jesus makes sure that they're all fed. Can I tell you what? This is deep. Are you ready for this? Christians ought to be nice. We ought to be nice. We ought to be sweet. We ought to be hospitable. We ought to be gracious. You know what? I remember, I never forget this because it was so striking to me. Because it really bummed me out. And it really said something to me as the development of a church. I had a friend, I was working in Baldwin Park. Maybe you've heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again. I was working in Baldwin Park. I invited this guy, came into the store a lot, and I kind of started to become his friend, and I invited him to church. The family only had one car. His wife had to go somewhere, and one Sunday, he took the bus from Baldwin Park, and he came to Pico Rivera. I was so happy to see him. We had a great service. At the end of the service, he comes up to me. And at that point in time, there's probably maybe 40 adults in the church. Maybe the whole church was maybe 50 people, 55. So still real small. But there was 40 adults. And he comes up to me, and here's what he says. He says, hey, pastor, could someone give me a ride home? Now, please understand, he's not asking a ride to Fontana. He's asking for a ride to Baldwin Park. And when he said this, here's what I knew instantly in my mind. I knew that there was no one that I could ask, listen to me, no one I could ask in the church that wouldn't come up with an excuse why they couldn't. I am telling you, this is a true story. So what did you do? I thought of two people who I thought might say yes. But I knew there was probably a 50% chance they'd say no. And these were like the two people that I was optimistic that they'd say yes. And I was 50-50. I knew they'll probably say no. But I asked anyway. Why didn't you do it? I did end up doing it. And I would have done it anyway, but you know what? It's right after service. Listen, there should be somebody besides the pastor who is nice enough to drive the guy home. I'm going to say that again, give you a chance to say amen. There should be somebody besides the pastor that would be nice enough to give the guy a ride home. Amen. See, Christians ought to be nice. And it's true. In the end days, men will become lovers of themselves. That can get caught up. And we're all thinking about, well, I can't. I got to do this. You don't understand. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen. No one would give him a ride home. And the two people asked, sure enough, they came up with reasons why they couldn't. And I didn't even ask the rest of the people. Because I just didn't want the truth. You want to know the truth? Because I didn't want. I felt so hurt in my heart that I pastored a church and with 40 adults, nobody would give them a ride home. I was very, true story, I was embarrassed. Can I tell you what? Jesus is hospitable. You know what he says? You know that scripture? We use it to get people saved, and I guess that's fine. But can I tell you what it's really talking about when he says, I stand at the door and knock? And what I want is I want you to let me in that I'd be able to hang out with you and eat with you. You know what he's talking? You know who he's primarily talking to? Primarily he's talking to Christian people. Because you know what he wants to do? He wants to hang out with you. You know what the Bible says? Oh, and I'll close with this. You know what the Bible says leads people to repentance? You know the Bible says leads people to repentance? The love or the kindness of God. Here, let me throw one more scripture at you. Here's what the Bible says, that men would see your works and glorify God. All I'm suggesting is, hey, can you give somebody a ride home tonight to Baldwin Park? No, I'm not saying like, oh yes, Pastor, I will, but I know there's nobody here. I was like, yes, hallelujah, amen. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, will you give somebody a ride to Baldwin Park? No, not. I'm asking, will you do it? Okay. Well, praise God. I believe you. Amen. Because I know I don't pastor a church like that anymore. Amen. And I was glad to pastor that church back then. I wasn't like, oh, these people are all bad. I was just brokenhearted because I recognized I didn't have a witness. That's all it was. And I believe you will. I don't have anyone who needs a ride to Baldwin Park. But I guarantee you in this week, there will be an opportunity that you will have to do something that would be nice to someone else and it will cause inconvenience to you. Okay. That's Jesus. Where it's not all about you. It's not about your lifestyle. It's not about, oh, well, I could, but see, that doesn't fit in my schedule. You know what? I'm watching, you know what, the Three Stooges at 8:30. You know, like the Grinch. I can't miss that. Remember that line? I can't miss that. So come on. Our life doesn't belong to ourselves. So can somebody get a ride? Absolutely. Can we do? Absolutely. Hey, here. Well, it'll come up, trust me. But you've already said you would. And listen, and I believe you. Because you know what? Because we have people all in this room who lay down their life for Christ. Who don't just come and sit. They come and sit and they serve. And you're a great example to other people where your life isn't about you. It's not just about you. Christianity, that's not what it's about. It's about you, and then it's about showing other people the love of Christ. And when here's the beautiful thing. When you show people the love of Christ, and guess what? They'll go, wow, Jesus is real. You know what was one of the most striking things in Tamara's life? This is going to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but I'm just telling you a story. You know what was one of the most significant things that really showed Tamara real Christianity is when the love of Jesus is when I left Newport Beach and came up and moved in back with my parents in La Puente. Because here's why. Because she understood it's about God. I don't know about you, but 2017, I want to look more like Jesus. Amen. I want to get more people saved. I want to get more people healed. I want my life not to be about me, but about following Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your goodness towards us. I pray that something that was said will minister to all of us today. I pray that these words that we will be reminded even this week of areas that we can be more like Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, did you learn some today?